It's Thursday now and time for Across the Aisle, our weekly roundtable on politics. This week, Cynthia Dill, an attorney who served in the legislature as a Democrat, Dick Woodbury, an economist and former independent lawmaker, and Mike Chinquette, an attorney and former chief counsel to Republican Governor Paula Page. They spoke with Keith Shortall.
Cynthia, Dick, Mike, happy Thursday. Will she or won't she? Senator Susan Collins is expected to announce whether she will jump into the governor's race tomorrow. She'll be speaking to an audience of business people in Rockport. Predictions first. Cynthia, does she stay or does she go?
I think that the fact she's having the event in Maine is a hint. And my money says it's Collins for governor.
Dick?
Well, first thing I'd say is that I think this is a real decision that I think she has agonized about. Being in the U.S. Senate, you're one of 535 voting people, so you're somewhat diluted. Now, granted, she's in a position of more power than that, but you're also in a body that has dysfunction right now, that's largely playing defense against bad things rather than trying to craft good things. If I have to vote right now, I'm going to vote no, that her position in Washington is too strong. But I think it's a tough decision and could go either way.
Mike?
I think she stays in Washington. You know, the challenge is there's differences between executives and legislators. Some people can do both well. Senator Collins has spent a long time in the Senate now. Certainly, she's carved out a niche for herself as this centrist who tries to bring two sides together. Being one of one as governor means sometimes you need to make very hard choices and say we have to raise taxes or we have to reduce benefits. And that's probably a bridge too far for her when right now she sits astride most major policy in the country.
I should say that even though I think she's going to run for governor, it's not my preference that she runs for governor. I think she should actually stay in the Senate. I think that we benefit more from her being in Washington than in Augusta.
Well, I was going to say there are some Republicans in Congress who I'm sure are pressuring her to not give up the Senate seat, but there may be some Democrats who also want her to stick around.
Oh, sure. Well, if she decides to run for governor, then every other seat opens up. You're going to have a scramble for who's going to be running for Senate. And then if Shelley Pingree and Bruce Poliquin decide they're running for Senate, there's going to be a scramble for people running for Congress, and it's just going to trickle down. So it's going to be a huge ripple effect when she makes the announcement one way or the other, because if she decides to stay in Washington, a lot more Republicans who have been sitting on the sidelines may decide now's the time to get in the gubernatorial race.
So Mike, if she decides to maintain the status quo, as you predict, what will the effect be on the governor's race? A lot more names, a giant primary?
Well, I think we're already headed towards a giant primary, certainly on the Democratic side. You know, I don't think you'll see many more Republicans get in. Certainly, Sean Moody made some headlines enrolling in the Republican Party this week. You might see one or two more sitting legislators get in. But I think for the most part, the Republican field is pretty well set. I do think you may see some more independents. You may see even more Democrats get into the race. With the idea that the pendulum will swing back towards the other direction, and therefore one of them may be in an opportune position.
Now, Dick, if she does jump into the race, is it still the conventional wisdom that she faces a real challenge in the primary?
Well, I think she faces a real challenge in the primary. Of course, she's faced a primary every time she's run for reelection, and even if she runs again for the U.S. Senate in, it would be 2020 then, she'll be in a primary in 2020. You know, so whether this primary is so dramatically different, I don't know. She's so popular, I've got to believe that she'll succeed regardless.
All right, to Washington. President Trump today signed an executive order aimed at allowing small businesses and possibly individuals to buy a type of health insurance that is unregulated by states. They're called association health plans. This is seen as a step toward doing what Congress has not been able to achieve, and that is to undo the Affordable Care Act. Mike, is this what he's doing, and is he playing to his base here?
Well, he certainly, you know, for years, Republicans have talked about the challenges with the Affordable Care Act and the changes and the repeal and all these other pieces. And certainly President Trump, as many other Republicans, ran on that platform. So I certainly think he's conducting himself accordingly to what he promised. And, you know, these policy changes, you know, we'll see. I haven't read the full executive order. But the idea that association health plans are unregulated by states, while true, they are still subject to various federal regulations. And, you know, there are many Mainers who are covered by them. For example, the Maine Auto Dealers Association has a shared health plan. It's administered by Anthem. It's, I believe, represented by a Maine-based insurance brokerage. It's a health plan like any other employer. The difference is the risk is spread around rather than being located solely on an insurer or solely on a single business.
The thing about Obamacare is that it does mandate that people have coverage. And so if these unregulated products draw the lower risk people out of the markets and therefore drive up premiums for others, it's not going to be the kind of Band-Aid that Trump thinks it's going to be. It's just going to be more problems in the health insurance world. And I don't know why he's drawing attention to the Republicans' inability to do anything better than Obamacare.
Dick, there's this. There's the war with Bob Corker. There's the war with NBC. The president seems consumed with criticizing others as opposed to, I guess, having a strategy toward reaching some political end.
Yeah, I look back at the last years when actually we've had this show and we've made some so similar comments about Paul LePage, where it seemed like he couldn't get along with his own party here and couldn't get along with the Democrats, couldn't get along with the legislature. And this president is absolutely that much more so. He is so unpredictable and changes alliances and loyalties, and it seems to be willing to criticize everybody. So it's a different world, and I think we're all adjusting to what that means.
You know, this is where a lot of times people think that having a CEO or a businessman is what we need in an executive office. And while there are some qualities that translate and transfer, if you're used to bossing people around, it doesn't work when you need a majority of senators to pass tax reform. So his fight with Bob Corker, I understand his frustration and it, you know, his lashing out at his own party because they haven't helped him. But at the same time, there's 52 senators. If one of them is ticked off because he's gotten a tweet and doesn't support the tax reform proposal, for instance, that's just all the more work that the Trump staff has to do to shore up the votes that he really needs to get things done.
I don't think tax reform is off the table. Everyone agrees there's something that needs to be done. But, you know, one of the things with the president, you know, he's a counterpuncher. But you look at some of the challenges he's had with NBC News, for example, reporting that he wants to increase the size of the nuclear arsenal tenfold. While it's not forgivable, you can certainly understand why the president lashes out if people are running with these untruths for their own political motives.
I don't know, but how long did we listen to Donald Trump tell everybody that Obama wasn't born in America? So for of all people to be so outraged that there's this, you know, conspiracy of falsehoods when he is like the number one offender. I just feel like, you know, he made the bed. Now he's lying in it.
Cynthia, Mike, Dick, see you next week.